The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon from Cana; and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus: "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. 11th Sunday of Ordinary Time, and we celebrate the Father's Day. The reading for this Sunday presents the people of Israel encamped before Mount Sinai. God tells Moses, "Remind the people of my care for them, how I defeated the Egyptians and bore up the people of Israel on eagle's wings and brought you here to myself." Paul reminds the Romans of God's special care for his people when he tells them and us that Jesus died for us, so that we, the enemies of God's kingdom through sin, might be reconciled with God. The just man died not just for good people, but even and especially for sinners. And the gospel reminds us, the Lord filled with grief when he saw how much the crowds need him and how few people there were to continue his work. Jesus then begins his apostolic church. He calls the 12 apostles to carry his presence to the world. Let us be grateful for our faith, our belief that we gather here together, and that is the way God protects its people. Is full of love and compassion, always protecting his church. So let us be grateful as we continue to come to this church, continue to trust in God, continue to worship him through our lives. Today, there are many men who are present here that they can hear the promptings of God, the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and they can come to God to worship. And that is the way God, as Almighty Father, works in our lives. Almighty Father has his plan from the long time as he has created us in his image and likeness. He loves us so much, he continues to protect his people. And that is the Father, Heavenly Father. And today we want to pray for all the fathers in a special way. Bring them to God and be blessed by God. So thank you for all the fathers who are present here. And in a special way, we want to pray for all of us, all the fathers, and the blessings of God continues to bestow upon all the men who believe in God, who trust and who worship, who spend time, invest their time in the love of God. I remember my father, He was, yes, a military commander, and yes, in one word, there are so many bullets, but yes, he died 36 years only. It was in 1980. Now, today is the date, 18th of June. So I remember my father, and yes, I was a boy, little out of control. So I stole some money from my mom's box, and it was my first grade. And yes, I opened beautiful box, and yes, there were ten rupees. 10 rupees, so I took it quietly, put in my pocket, went to the school. Yes, and I was very happy. Today is the day I will buy so many sweets. But there was a neighbor man who was watching me, who was also in a school, but he's a little older than me, so he's watching me. I stole it and went and bought some sweets, and the rest of the money the shopkeeper honestly gave me back. So I put it in my pocket. He saw that. I went to school. Lunchtime, I came back, and you know, that was the half day on that day. And yes, luckily and unluckily, the neighbor boy who was able to tell my mom. Yes, so I was caught. So my mom asked, yes, hold his hands back. Let us check his pockets. So they are checking the pockets, so all the balances were there. Maybe $6 or $8 were there, not dollars, rupees were there. So yes, I was in need of severe punishment now, yes. Yeah, in my culture is different. Yes, if you do something, my mom spanked me. And yes, again my dad also was giving me his chance. So yes, he had also his chance to spank me. Before he was doing that, I ran away. Yes, I ran away so fast, he could not chase me. Yes, zigzag in the street. So I ran away so fast, he could not get me. Yeah. So that is the culture I grew up. If you do not come get up for mass, my mom will throw you away. Yes. If you do not take showers, he will... sticks. Yes, sticks. Yeah, so that was my mom and my dad. So happy Father's Day, he's watching from heaven, yeah? Yeah, so dad and mom, they were strict to raise us up. If you do not come, if you do not pray, yes, they were strict. So yes, that is the foundation I had, and luckily or unluckily, I am here now at Montrose. Something worked, yes. God punished me, but yes, something worked that I was able to come to Montrose, and yes, I am the youngest among our priests from the diocese still able to come to this country. Father Louis was the first, and he's still there. He's 15 years ahead of me, and I'm the youngest. He's still here. Nobody has come. So yes, God has his own way of doing his work. And today here I am to speak for Father's Day, and also asking God, the Heavenly Father, who is protective, who is taking care. The people of Israelites, they were wandering in the desert. 40 years they were to the promised land, and God, in his protective care, watching them. Where they will go, what they will do, how they will do. And he wanted to save them from Egyptians. The power of sin and corruption at that time. And people were grumbling, going here and there, doubting this and that. But even then, God is full of love and compassion. He did not give up. He continued to protect the Israelites so that they can achieve the promised land. They can come. And that is his unconditional love. That is his love. That is the covenant which we speak, that in front of him, no human beings are able to do faithfully their covenant. God is always honest, but God's people always dishonest. But again, he continues to show his love and compassion towards his people, and that is in the first. In the second reading, we hear St. Paul is talking. St. Paul was way different, but now he's living for Christ. He's talking for Romans and all the sinners and all of us humanity, that God came to reconcile the whole world, and he reconciled through his sacrificial love. And his sacrificial love can be found there. That is the love, his sacrificial love. And he came to reconcile the humanity and himself, and that is Jesus Christ. So how protective God, care and love, sacrificial love. And again, thirdly, today we see the mission of Jesus Christ. He is in grief and compassion and in pity, and yes, he is taking care as a good shepherd. We can be scattered like a sheep without any shepherd. And that is what God does. He brings them back. And that is the Father's work. That is the Heavenly Father is working, as in inviting each and every one of us today to ponder the beautiful reality of the covenant of God for all of us, for whole human beings. Still, he continues to protect and guide us. All those who come to this altar will be never be hungry and dissatisfied when we are able to offer him ourselves to God. And that is his protective care. That is his love. Unconditional love. In the Gospel of Matthew, again, Jesus was touched by the conditions of those people who were seeking him. They were the common people, poor, outcast, and questionably employed and daily laborers. They were disenfranchised from the elite, from the leadership, and the wealthy. They were largely uneducated, troubled in their hearts, and lives abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. But Father's care is there. And that is what we remember on Father's Day. All the fathers, birth fathers, adoptive fathers, and the priests are reminded of their mission to bring the caring and protecting love of the Lord to their family. I grew up with a different kind of culture. One side is, yes, the southern part of India, there is a patriarchal community. Patriarchs are the leaders. The father is the leader of the family, is a joint family or whatever family. So they are respected well. Elderly people are very much respected well. And yes, not easy to talk to them. If he's a father, all the sons and daughters will obey him, though he can be elderly. And that is the southern part of India is a patriarch culture, where fathers are the leaders of the community. So yes, the ladies certainly do not go and hug them. No, they will just shake hand or do namaste. So they are not easy to approach. He will not hug them. No, because they are different for them. So father will always bless them. He will just bless them. So anybody in that side is still, if the younger people will go and touch the feet of the father, and the oldest man will bless them. So that is the culture. It's a southern part of India. It's very strong. Men are. They come for the decisions making. They come together to make decisions, and yes, society becomes better. So one man can change a lot. And yes, that is what. The other side, in the northern part of India, in mountains, we have the ladies. They are matriarchal. So the women are the leaders. So women are taking care of, working hard, taking care of the sons and daughters, do everything. And sometimes those men are useless. The men sometimes wandering in the forest, in jungle, maybe drunk. So that is useless. So the extreme, one side is men are extreme, one side women are extreme. So both ways. So yes, one side is patriarchal, one side is matriarchal. And that is the culture. So yes, but my mom and dad both were strict. Yes, they were strict. So we are in the middle. I was in the middle. We were in the middle. So mom will play her role. She will kick me also sometimes. Yeah, if you do not get up, yeah? So that is my mom. But my dad was a military, so he is again stubborn. But yes, I'm grateful for my mom and my dad that they were able to raise us up. in background. And yes, certainly, yes, my dad was not, but my grandfather was always able to pray for me to become priest and constantly teaching me, hold my hands, everything. Yes, so that is my family. So yes, again, it's beautiful today in the world we live. It's very challenging sometimes to have our identity as good mothers and good fathers. And God is teaching us. God is protective care. He's telling us to become mature and responsible adult. It takes years of experience and years of time. It requires good parents. It requires dedicated teachers. Requires trustworthy mentors. Few, if any, people become parents, teachers, or mentors for any material gain. Instead, they do so because they have something intangible to share with those in the charge. They hope to impart something of their knowledge, value system, and ideals to next generations, and that can be paid. They do this willingly, and sometimes with real hope for the good of the future, of the society, of any society. All these caregivers must be very patient with those who are in their trust. They must allow for the mistakes and setbacks and failures that are part of the learning process, and that is what we see in any sports. Once a certain level of maturity is reached, much can be gained or lost by that young man's actions. Therefore, a contract is required. Parents and teachers and mentors are replaced by employees, deans, superintendents, supervisors of some kind. So further learning and benefits will depend upon young person's compliance, whether he is ready or not. They must truly strive to do everything. The overseer asks deliberate failure to do so, break the contract, and possibly sever the relationship. And that is the world we live. And it is very challenging today to live in the world where we have, yes, attacks of morality, attacks of father, attacks on fathers spiritually, attacks on mothers spiritually. So we have been victim both ways. So that is the world we live in, the modern world. And sometimes we can be lost. We can be, not able to figure out what to be done. I really, appreciate and admire when we are able to come to the protective care of God, able to pray to Him. There have been both negative and positive concepts regarding fathers in our papers. Recently, in our media, everywhere, on the negative side, there is a direct relationship between the number of homes without fathers, number of children without fathers who are in trouble, and with also law. The legalization of abortion has become the greatest anti-fathers tell the girls they have impregnated that they have no responsibility beyond providing the fee for an abortion. So the courageous girls who with moral integrity and love of God that will not allow themselves to be compromised are treated as though it was their choice to have a fatherless child. So that is the world we live today. On the positive side, many men are taking fatherhood very seriously. Fathers are taking an active role in their families. Movements like Diocesan Men's Conference, the man you want to be, the promise keepers, have been encouraged thousands of fathers to take an active role in a spiritual and moral leadership of their families. So not only to be a macho man with lots of, but yes, again, God is inspiring us to think about that moral leadership of the families and the spiritual leadership of the families. And that is the time. And those who come to God, certainly they will be strengthened. They will be with God. In 1993, the bishops of the United States issued a pastoral message, "Follow the Way of Love," in which fathers were commended and encouraged. The bishops wrote, "More and more fathers have been discovering how their involvement in parenting enriches both their children and themselves and families. This is the hopeful development. We urge men to interpret their traditional role of provider for a family in more than an economic sense. Physical care of the children, discipline, training in religious values and practices, helping with the schoolworks and other activities can and must be provided by fathers as well as mothers. So how wonderful to pray for the men. How wonderful that they will be able to obey our God, able to come to Him many more so that God can teach them. God can teach us. So the role of the father and mother can be seen that, yes, how God protects its people. And always they were able to learn that the job of father and mother is life-giving nurturer. Nurturing which her body gives the child from conception through natural death, nursing becomes her basic relationship with her child. The good mother does not teach her child like the school teacher, but she feeds the child with the basic message of life and love and God. The role of the father is also the same, can be expressed with the concept of being a life giver provider. Work is important, but providing for the family means a lot more than pay the checks. The good father provides a Christian life for the child to grasp and integrate into his or her life. And that is the role and responsibility of the good father. The good father makes real the caring, protecting love of God. On eagle's wings, the Lord delivered his people from the evils of the Egypt, the sin and corruption and death. When he keeps his home free from the immoral influences of modern society, the good father protects his children from the evil of the world with eagle's wings. And we know that how eagles and tigers, they take care of their children. We care for his children. He cares for his children with the sacrifice of his day, knowing that his life is richer when he is given for others, a sacrificial love, particularly for his own family. The good father is sent to proclaim the gospel. He begins with his children. And that is, Jesus is sending his apostles today, 12 apostles, go and proclaim the gospel, giving life, your witness of your faith. And that's why we pray for our fathers today in a special way. Yes, there can be weaknesses. They can be weak. We cannot be perfect. But yes, we can pray for those strong men and women that how God continues to strengthen us as we come to his altar. May they provide for our children the care the Father can do and change the world, make this world a beautiful place with his grace, with his power. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, let us be grateful for our dads, for our fathers, and continue to pray for them in a special way. Do not expect them to be perfect, but continue to assist them with love and compassion, strengthen them, and surrender them to God. Pope John 23rd says, consult not your fears, but your hopes and your dreams. Think not about your frustrations, but about your unfulfilled potentials. Concern yourself not with what you tried and failed in, but with what it is still possible for you to do. May God bless each and every one of us as we gather in his altar to receive him, the body and blood of Christ, to strengthen us and continue to deepen our covenant love of God. May God bless you. Amen.